On this episode of Digital Signage Digest, we revisit New York Digital Signage Week held earlier this month, where we talk attendance, announcements, and new products, as well as address the state of privacy concerns in digital signage.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is Digital Signage Digest, Episode 9, The State of Privacy.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by Peerless AV, driving technology through innovation.
I'm Lenore Aline, and this is Digital Signage Digest, the AV Nation TV show that looks at the news and issues of the digital signage market. With me today is Adrian Cotterill, co-founder and editor-in-chief of Daily Do, Kim Frank, president of Geopath, and Laura Davis-Taylor, co-founder and principal consultant of the High Street Collective. Thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you.
So on our last podcast, we talked about New York Digital Signage Week, which wrapped up on October 18th. So we'll just launch right into it with Adrian. Compared to previous New York's Digital Signage Week events, how would you rate this month's gathering and the attendance, the participants, and the announcements?
This year, I think it's our seventh year. Attendance is pretty much the same. It's somewhere between 4,500 and 5,000 people. I think the participants, probably the best thing is that now folks like the OAAA, Geopath, and WU, formerly FEPI, have all decided to put big events on that week. That's made a major impact, major change to the week, really, because we have a lot more senior execs there during the week now. We've always had the Digital Signage Federation taking a big part of it. SEGD have always done big things. But to have the OAAA and WU and Geopath have their major board meetings and have a kickoff event that week has made everything up a level, if that makes any sense.
It does. So with these participants, what major announcements emerged from the show that thrilled you the most, and how does that move the needle in terms of what digital signage is doing right now?
Good question. There was a number of announcements. I think the biggest thing was not really an announcement, but more the fact this privacy stuff, which I'm sure we're going to talk about in the next half an hour, because I know that Kim and Laura were both involved in the whole thing. I think for the first time, the industry's come together and looked at privacy and data as a big issue. And there was not one, not two, but three major debates, discussions, talking points going on that week. So I think that was probably the biggest thing that came out of the week was the whole debate about privacy and data.
Were there any products that you saw that have improved since the last event, or new products that you think will make a difference in terms of how people are using digital signage going forward?
No, I don't think so. Diversified Media made a couple of product announcements. I think most product announcements are probably kept, certainly in the AV world, most product announcements are kept for either CES in January in Las Vegas or ISE in Amsterdam. So sure. I don't think we ever expect AV announcements. Digital signage announcements, yeah, I don't think there are particularly very many either. They're probably kept for DSE. Mm-hmm. So not really a week for announcements.
Okay. Well, you brought this up in talking about what was the main focus of the week. So I want to bring in Kim and Laura to talk about privacy and data in digital signage. You guys were on the panel for the coffee and controversy breakfast that's pretty popular during the week. What technologies, one of the major draws of the week was the coffee and controversy breakfast panel, which this year focused on privacy and digital signage. What do you guys see as a major privacy threat as it relates to digital signage?
So certainly there are a lot of threats, one being the possibility that we might have multiple different regulations state by state that may even conflict with each other, the possibility that then they'll conflict with GDPR and us all having to run around and have different regulations, which is a huge threat, and it's hugely expensive for small companies to support this kind of regulation that's coming down the pipeline. So I think that's a huge threat. The limiting the ability of advertisers to understand the impact of campaigns they might be running, for stores to understand the ROI of signage that they've installed in their locations, you know, it really is a huge limiting factor for businesses really across the spectrum who are either using data or technology to understand how humans are engaging in retail environments.
Kim, where would you say we are in terms of addressing those? Are those new challenges, or are those things that you think are evolving pretty fast with the emergence of the newer technologies, you know, facial recognition and the metrics that we're using to measure audience engagement? Where do you think we are in terms, in the United States at least, with getting those regulations on the books? And do you think this is going to be ongoing for the duration?
Well, I think California is going to happen whether we like it or not. That's, you know, it's already been passed. I think what will be interesting to see is that I know there's new, more, even more strict regulation that they're trying to push through now in California. And I think a lot of the other states are going to sit back and kind of see what happens, let California kind of pave that way. So I think that's, you know, we're going to have to deal with this. We as an organization are already dealing with it, and I know a lot of other companies are as well. I think what will, you know, remain to be seen is what's going to happen in all of these other states.
So can you give me an example of how regulation is kind of limiting how digital signage is being used right now in a state like California?
Certainly. So, you know, there are a lot of exemptions. So, you know, depending upon how big of an organization you are, what your revenue are, how much data you're storing. But something that could be really impacted would be things like customer lists or loyalty programs. You know, facial detection obviously is hugely under threat as a technology being used. Sensors, of course, mobile data that has identifying information in it. All of those things could be significantly impacted, or will be significantly impacted, when this regulation is enacted. And then having to make sure that your company is compliant in just one state, when you might be doing technology across the entire country, really kind of causes a bit of a divide. So, you know, we are big data users inside my organization. We're making sure that all of our partners are CCPA compliant. You know, we knew that this was coming with GDPR years ago. So fortunately, from our standpoint, we were able to prepare for it for GDPR. So we don't have a huge lift. But, you know, you also don't know what you don't know. Something we talked about when we were discussing GDPR at the panel was, we were GDPR compliant, but what we hadn't expected was the amount of paperwork that was going to come in from all of the people who we were partnered with, who now needed our attorneys to sign off on our GDPR compliance. So, I, you know, there's also things that we just don't expect that are going to be hugely expensive for businesses.
We certainly learned a lot, even as a panel, didn't we, Kim?
We did. It was so great to actually have somebody who's working in privacy in DC sitting on the panel as a real go-to expert on all of this for us.
He was amazing. And a few of the takeaways that I took as a practitioner of this stuff, but also as like you all, industry voices, is we have such a huge gap in education from a couple perspectives. The press isn't properly educated. As you mentioned, Kim, they're calling recognition detection and detection recognition. They don't understand. So you do one thing and everyone jumps in, all of a sudden it's this, you know, red alarm fire. But as Amy Avery from Georgia 5 pointed out, we haven't come together as multiple location-based industries and educated people on the goodness that can come out of the right kind of tracking. We can make your experience better. We can make it more relevant. You know how you go to Amazon and you get messages that are meant for you, that could happen. You actually could control it if done the right way. All the things that could happen, and help them understand, here's the tools that we could use, here's how we're using them. But from the brand side, this whole detection versus recognition thing is such a big deal. But there's also this notion of what you could do versus what you should do. And for you guys, last week we had the Location-Based Marketing Association touring our Living Retail Lab. And we were talking about this topic in relation to location-based marketing. And a couple of the executives said, oh man, there were two people in the event that said, they're doing all this rematching to the unique mate ID of the phone, and they're able to tell where that person works and where they live and how long they go and where they go after, and we're going to keep doing it until someone tells us not to. And we thought, oh, Lord have mercy, that's exactly what's going to cause a fallout. Mm-hmm. So there's an education across all of us who are doing any kind of analytics in places and spaces and being consistent, and imagine the Internet Advertising Bureau approach standards and guidelines that way. So right. So then you get to the final one, which is your people like us who are working and trying to do projects and saying, I got to get to ROI. What can I use? And if you don't have very distinct guidelines that make the legal team of the people, the venue owners you're working with feel comfortable, then everyone's rear ends are up in the air. And as we learned as best practice, it's just to keep going on the thought stream. I didn't know that we should have a third party anonymized data if we store it. So therefore don't store data. I didn't know that. And I didn't know that every single party involved, even if they're just barely touching it, needs to have a data policy. Who knew? I'm sure you knew, Kim. I'm sure you probably knew Adrian too, but I didn't know. No, we do.
So you bring up an interesting point about education, because we all get so excited by this technology, right? We're also, we just want to see it pushed and see how we can even go further and bring consumers into not only enjoying it, but wanting to use it over and over again. How do we begin to educate people? What's kind of first step, you know, because even we're educating ourselves as we go along in terms of the laws and so on.
I think from our perspective, we have really made sure that counsel is involved in everything that we're doing.
Bring in the lawyers.
Yeah, we brought in lawyers. In fact, last week we hosted an event coming out of Digital Signage Week, New York, with the head of accountability for the American Association of National Advertisers, Sandy Boone, to come and speak with us, because she's the expert in what is happening, you know, in, when it comes to policy and not us. So I think making sure that lawyers are talking about it and that we're all talking to lawyers is really the first step. But then I think collectively as an industry, and I probably said this a little too vocally during the panel, but it was a controversy panel, is that we kind of missed our window to get ahead of this. And the story has been written for us. And, you know, it is a little late for us to be jumping in and writing our own story, but I don't think we have a choice. I think as an industry, you know, the digital signage, the AV industry, the digital out-of-home industry, the out-of-home industry, maybe collectively saying, this is our story, this is what we're doing, and then also holding all the participants responsible. So when you see a bad actor, Laura, who is saying that they're doing things that seem irresponsible and unethical, calling them out and saying, you know, you can't be doing that. You're going to sink the whole ship for everyone. And, you know, making sure that we have guidelines on how we discuss these topics as an industry collectively, so that we don't have one person really making everyone look bad.
So it's an uphill battle, really. And because, as you said, we started kind of late with getting the back end, right? How do you pull in, so this is an ongoing mechanism that has to grow, has to expand, has to be standardized. How do you do that alongside the emerging technology? So we've got the analytical platforms, right? And we've got the technology moving with voice control, facial recognition. It seems like a lot to try to do. And every day, or it seems like every week, something new is being pulled into it, AR, VR, whatever. And they have their own set of regulations. How do we untie this knot, even just beyond just the legalities of it, and still keep it fun for integrators, keep integrators interested? Because the only way that we're going to move forward is if the integrators are able to sell this.
Anybody? I think a key theme that came out was walk and act prudently. Prudency is very important, because I actually took this topic on 9 years ago. At DSC, spent a year and a half with a group that we formed for retail, because we couldn't get it through the legal advisors. And we created standards and guidelines for what we were calling observed tracking data, We did it through what was now, it was Popeye, I think they call it Shop now. And it never took on, but we spent a year and a half as a group trying to take this on to get ahead of it. And it just couldn't get any steam because it was just this little group. But it was the same thing. If you as a human being could possibly feel infringed upon, don't do it. Because we had Pam Dixon involved in that effort. She is very vocal about not doing any of this stuff. So she's a controversial voice. But the point she made then, which is still true, is if we don't as an industry come together and do the right thing and push guidelines together like the Internet Advertising Bureau did, government will do it for us. And we don't want government doing that for us because we may very end up being the one channel that cannot get to attribution. And it all comes down to attribution right now. Did my investment in this channel versus that channel pay off based on what? And how do I make sure that the messages I'm putting on those channels are going to be received and be valued? We can't do that without measurement. And yet if we have this alarmist thing or people who are going out and saying, oh, wow, I can, like, as they can, identify a human by their ear shape, thank you, Israeli technology. Oh, great. That's really going to bode well for all of us. So it's back to what Kim was just saying. And I'm sure, Adrian, you've had these conversations too. It feels like the elephant in the room is how do all the organizations that could be impacted by this come together, united, and create our arm bureau where we could potentially have someone who's lobbying for us in the government the way the NRF does and take it on from a leading voice versus a passive, let's just wait and see what happens. I mean, does Adrian, Kim, do you think that's even feasible or is that sort of a pie in the sky idea?
Yeah, I don't think it's pie in the sky idea. I think it's a very good idea and it's very important. I think we'll look back in a couple of years time at this New York Digital Signage Week and we'll think it's a seminal moment. We've got the DSF, Geopath and the OAAA and the DPAA working on standards for our out-of-home industry. I said when Rich Ventura spoke at our investor conference on the day after your DSF coffee and controversy event that we probably needed some form of security data privacy ambassador. I think Rich Ventura acts probably much more globally than anybody else on the panel, mainly because of his job working for NEC, a global brand. Obviously, you know, your business is in the US and Geopath is a US business. So, you know, we've sort of got a global spokesman in Rich Ventura, but we've got people who are more than capable and prepared to speak on the industry's behalf. What we need to get in a position somehow is to make sure that the media speaks to us when they want to comment. At the moment, I mean, obviously, look, I'm a badge-carrying journalist, and you know what journalists are like. They want to get a nice, juicy, horrible story. So, you know, to get a real expert to speak on something is what we really need. And every time we have some issue with some cell phone data being plucked from the sky or a camera detecting somebody, you know, there's so many positive stories from this as opposed to negative stories. And we probably need a number of industry spokesmen who can talk to the journalists. But I'm excited. I think that, you know, for the first time ever, we've seen industry association work together, which is, I think, quite new this year, really, if we're totally honest. I also think that for the first time, we have a positive story to spin and tell. You know, the journalists typically in the press have picked up all the negatives of security and data privacy. But we all know, I mean, you especially, Laura, with the retail stuff, how useful this stuff could be in the real world. You know, since GDPR, my experience of buying things in an Apple store may sound like a weird thing, but it's got worse. It used to be I go to an Apple store and I go probably to an Apple store once every 2 or 3 weeks. I buy a product. I give them my credit card details. They know my credit card. They can associate that with my email address. Well, up until GDPR, I used to then get an email that said, thank you for your purchase. Now, my whole Apple experience takes another 5 minutes because I have to type into some crappy little iPhone my email address, my postcode, you know, do I want to be sent emails, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's zillions of examples of how all of this stuff has ruined retail and ruined our experiences. And of course, in the out-of-home world, there's so many good examples of people doing good things with advertising. And I think the other thing that, this is something that Dentons, our sponsor for the Daily Do Investor Conference, have always pointed out. You know, the mayors of the big cities in North America, if you ask them what they wanted, they want to stop crime. They want to stop terrorism. You know, if they could use face tracking to detect potential criminals or terrorists, they'd love to do it. But everything seems to be legislated against that because of the consumer. So I think as an industry, we've got a good story to tell. I think we just need to figure out in the next couple of months, maybe between now and DSC. I'm hoping that the conversations we started, or not we started, but the conversations you guys started at New York Digital Signage Week will continue. They'll continue to DSC. They'll continue to the Geopath conference in April. And then we can really get some movement, you know, within the next 6 months.
In an ideal world then, saying, because I think the challenge here too is that, yes, I know the United States is a large market for everything. But then you have GDPR in Europe, and then you have what China is doing, which is a free-for-all, basically. China's like, we have it, we're using it, don't talk to us about this, we don't care. How do you, and you know, we have to acknowledge that America is great, but then you've got these outside operators. How do you unify this voice across, because we are global, how do we unify this and keep digital signage evolving to that future that we keep advocating for? Because I know Adrian is saying that we do have spokespeople, but I feel like we need something more. There needs to be a more unified narrative, or a competing narrative anyway, with what's considered bad press in terms of how permissions and privacy is being attacked from
No, I think people. We have a narrative. I think we have enough people with Laura and Rich Ventura and Kim and some of the other people who are on the panel. I think we have enough experts speaking about it. I think we have a good narrative. I think we just need to figure out how we reach to the press and be proactive rather than reactive. Yes, we want the press to say, oh, I need a quote on CCTV and, you know, invasion of privacy. I need a quote, so I need to go and speak to somebody. They need to know who to go to speak to. We need to be proactive in that sense. But I think we have a good enough story. I think we just need to figure out how to get to them and reach them. Maybe a couple of successful examples where we're mentioned in the press. As an industry, we're not mentioned in the press enough. Mm-hmm. Kim, I think because of her standing in the industry and being on the boards of so many different things, probably gets more press than anybody, which is, you know, what we want. Kim's nodding there. I can see in the background.
But I was going to apologize.
No, that's good. That's a good thing.
Apologize for being great.
Yeah, we need more of that. We certainly need more of that. We just need to figure out how to do it. And I think that's probably the next step. The next time the DSF get together with the Geopath and AAA, it should be an agenda item to figure out how we nominate industry spokespeople and how we push them forward to talk about our story.
I certainly wrote that down, Adrian. I think that's really great.
And I think I like that idea as well. Is there a way of using digital signage itself to push that narrative? Because there is a lot of digital signage in the world. How do we use the technology, the product that we have to show even more, not just as advocates, but just using the technology itself to do that, outside of advertising mostly, probably?
Well, that's a good one. I mean, I think there's zillions of ideas out there. And when you think you've got all these billboards out there, you could talk about, you know, yes, you're being spied on, you know, people can be clever with copywriting, you know, but it's like what Nancy has done so successfully over the last 10-15 years with the OAAA, of saying, look, we've caught all of these people on the FBI most wanted. That's what we need. We, at some point, we'll need to turn the copywriting experts that we have in the industry to say, look, you know, there may be a camera watching you now, but guess what? It gives you A, B, C, D. And that's a story that we need to keep telling. There's a way to do that. Now, that may still be a year off, because unfortunately it still spooks people.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, maybe it is good that we were a little late to the game, because we didn't the message hasn't been crafted for us. I love that idea, Adrian, because a lot of what we're doing really is benefiting the community in a lot of ways, the smart city initiatives, wayfinding, all the great stuff that's going on. But I think also we have an opportunity to say, we as an industry, or multiple industries that we all represent, are taking a responsible stance when it comes to respecting consumers' privacy, and own that. what does that mean, and own it. It's something that we've done as an organization, and I know it's resonated really well with the ANA, because that isn't a space that was owned, that the out-of-home industry is taking a proactive stance that we are going to respect consumer privacy, that we don't need to follow every single phone around and understand what everybody's doing. And I think maybe across all of these organizations, we have an opportunity to say, this is our stance, but we also want you to understand that there are serious benefits. I think to Adrian's point about the Apple Store, I'm sure you've all, if you read the news like I do, every time you visit a website now, you have to click on a banner saying, okay, it's okay, you can show me your cookies. And on a mobile device, that can sometimes take up like half the page. These are things that consumers are going to react to. So we do have an opportunity to craft that message. And then as these things are happening and all of this stuff is changing, now we've got two things working in our favor, which is consumer experience and also a strong message.
It's almost begging for us to come together and put together sort of a creed with an artifact and maybe even a logo that if you subscribe to this standard of ethics that the cross industry associations are all blessing, you put a logo right there in your LinkedIn. And when you put a notice up wherever the aperture might be, it's right there. And we're all using the same consistent message. And we have almost a platform that can educate the press, the participants, but also the people, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's, as you just said, let's get this on the agenda when we're all together and just make it happen. Because we got prudent examples and guidelines out of the conversation. We just need to get them together.
But I think it's also hard to police compliance. Like, there is a lot of money flying around from investors for startups that promise that they can do everything on the planet, and they're in to get acquired and get out, or whatever their goal is. It is really hard policing that part of the industry because they're not necessarily part of the industry. They're coming in. I think on the out-of-home side, we see them all the time, and they come in and they say their business model is one thing, and then 3 weeks later we hear that they're pitching something completely different. So I think that's where we really have to keep a magnifying glass on a lot of these companies that are coming in with new technologies, coming in with sexy data stacks, and make sure that we bring them into the fold, we tell them who we are, and try to get them to be compliant with the rules that we've already established.
Excellent. I think that's a great note to end our discussion on. Thank you all for joining me today. This is really wonderful. I appreciate it. Where can listeners find you, Adrian?
Daily Do, DailyDoh. You can find us on Twitter, or you can just Google us and you'll come to our website.
Kim?
Our website is geopath.org, and I am Kim Frank on Twitter, which is KYMFRANK.
Laura?
We are at High Street X, as in H-I-G-H, highstreetx.com, and also livingretaillab.com.
Brilliant. Thank you, guys. I'm Lenore Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at LenoreDSM. For AV Nation, visit our website, avnation.tv. You'll find this show and a host of others. While you're there, please visit our supporters section. These are the companies that support us financially and help us bring you digital signage digests, coverage of DSC, Infocom, and more. All that and more at avnation.tv. That's avnation.tv.